You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, the world's first legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Study Legal English podcast. I am your host, Louise, and today we are beginning at the bottom of the hierarchy of the Courts of England and Wales, looking in more detail at the inferior courts, those being the Magistrates' Court, the Family Court, and the County Court. We'll be looking at what type of cases these inferior courts deal with and who it is exactly that deals with them. Today's episode is the fourth one in the English Legal System Module 3 Courts and Tribunals course, which you can follow on our website. If you want a fuller picture of how the courts and tribunals operate in England and Wales, I recommend that you follow this course, which has more episodes coming to it soon. This course and all of the courses and podcasts on the website are free to access for everyone all over the world, with Podcast Pro members getting access to further learning resources. And before I get started, I had a lovely message this week from a legal English teacher in Chile who runs her own company called Bilingui. Javera sent me a message saying, "I'm so thrilled to have found your website and your wonderful podcasts." Well, I'm very happy that you enjoy it, Javera. And you, yes, you, that's you who is listening to the podcast. If you are a legal English teacher, don't forget to check out the free lesson plans, which you can use in your legal English classes, along with the podcast available at studylegalenglish.com/lesson-plans. So enough of that. Let's get started. The inferior courts are courts of first instance concerned with fact-finding and applying the law to those facts. The courts at this level are the Magistrates' Court, the Family Court, and the County Court. So let's consider the Magistrates' Court first of all. Around 95% of criminal cases begin in one of the 330 Magistrates' Courts of England and Wales. For all you listeners out there who love watching legal dramas, you may have heard a judge saying something like, "The jury has found you guilty of committing a felony." Or, "The defendant was arrested on charges of a misdemeanor." You might be wondering, why is Louise putting on another terrible American accent again? Well, these were indeed terms used until the 1960s in the UK, but the reason I have again attempted to use my terrible American accent here is because they are still used in the USA. Instead, in England and Wales, we have basically three types of offences, two of which are heard in the Magistrates' Courts. These are summary-only offences and either-way offences, both tried without a jury. Say what? Hang on a minute, Louise, I hear you say, what's a summary-only offence? What's an either-way offence? What do you mean, a trial without jury? Hold your horses, I'm going to explain. Summary-only offences are always heard in the Magistrates' Court, and they are the least serious offences. If we're talking about misdemeanors and felonies, we would call them a misdemeanor. However, of course, that term is not used in the UK anymore, but as I mentioned previously, you might hear it still being used in American dramas and even in old UK dramas. So these summary-only offences include things like being drunk and disorderly. 99% of driving offences are summary-only offences, and also things like common assault, which is an assault with no or just a very minor injury. Either-way offences, as you might be able to guess by the name of these offences, are offences which can be tried as a summary offence or an indictable offence. So we know what a summary offence is. It's the offence which is committed, which is not so serious, and whereby the case is heard in the Magistrates' Court without a jury. At the other end of the seriousness scale, the most serious crimes are indictable-only offences, which are heard at the Crown Court before a judge and jury. Either-way offences sit somewhere in between this. They're between a summary and indictable offence. and they can be heard either in the magistrate's court or at the Crown Court, hence the name. These include offences where the harm to society can be very wide-ranging, which is the case for theft, for example. This offence can include anything from someone stealing a chocolate bar to someone stealing the crown jewels. In these cases, firstly, the magistrate's court will hear the facts of the case and determine whether it can be tried summarily in the magistrate's court or if the case is more serious, requiring a more severe sentence, perhaps, than the magistrate's court can impose, then it will be sent to the Crown Court, who, of course, can impose much more severe sentences. This initial determination, where the magistrate's court decides, is called the mode of trial proceedings. However, if the magistrate's court decides that the case can be tried in the magistrate's court, then the defendant is still given the option of trial upon indictment before a jury in the Crown Court. And the Crown Court is a senior court and one which we will deal with in a later podcast episode. Magistrates' courts do not trial indictable-only offences, and instead they pass these directly to the Crown Court. As I mentioned, these are the most serious offences, including rape and murder, and are trialable on indictment and before a jury. For most cases involving either summary-only offences, either-way offences, or indictable-only offences, with the exception of cases involving murder, the magistrates deal with bail applications and decide whether to grant bail to the defendant or whether he should remain in custody pending the trial or appeal. Magistrates' courts also act as a youth court, dealing with cases where the defendant is between the age of 10 and 17, and they also deal with some other things, for example, the issuing of summons. This means that the magistrates' court issues a document to initiate criminal proceedings and order an individual to appear in court at a specified time. They also issue warrants for arrest or warrants for search. And this is a document issued by a magistrate for the arrest of a person or the search of his or her property. As I mentioned in the previous episode, magistrates' courts also have very limited jurisdiction in civil matters at first instance. Moving on, let's consider what sentences a magistrates' court can give. Of course, considering that they are an inferior court, the sentences they can impose are not as tough as those at a higher level. The court can give punishments or a mixture of these punishments, including up to 6 months in prison for one offence, a fine of up to £5,000 for most offences, but with unlimited fines allowed for serious offences, and a community sentence, like doing unpaid work in the community. And what sort of judges do we have in the magistrates' court? Well, remember, we must be careful when using the word judge here. Cases in the magistrates' courts can either be heard by two or three magistrates, one is called the chairman and the other two are known as wingers, or more serious cases are heard by one district judge. What's the difference then between magistrates and judges? You may well remember, because I've mentioned this a few times, because I don't want you to make the mistake of confusing them. Magistrates are also known as justices of the peace. They're volunteers, often without legal qualifications, who undergo a training process to become magistrates and are assisted, normally, by justices' clerks. Whereas district judges are legally qualified, they're paid, and they are full-time professionals. So let's move on to the other two inferior courts, the family court and the county court. Firstly, let's look at the family court. Prior to 2014, many family matters were dealt with by what was known as the Family Proceedings Court, which was not exactly a separate court, but rather a section of the Magistrates Court, and cases were heard by the same types of judges as in the Magistrates Courts. If you remember, this is lay magistrates, otherwise known as Justices of the Peace, or district judges. Certain family matters were also heard in the county court. However, following the enactment of the Crime and Courts Act 2013, a single family court was established from April 2014, which merged the family law functions of the county court and magistrates courts. The family court can sit at any of the county court centres or any of the magistrates courts, and it exercises jurisdiction for the vast majority of family proceedings at first instance. Generally, these cases result from a breakdown in a family relationship which has caused a dispute. It may involve domestic violence, the safety of a child, or financial provision for an ex-spouse or a child. However, I must say that in recent years there has been a great push to use alternative forms of dispute resolution instead of going to court. And one of these, which is really very much promoted in the UK, is mediation, whereby the parties discuss the issues and try to reach an agreement outside of court. But, of course, for cases that do go to the family court can hear cases of a public or private nature. Public matters are normally brought on behalf of the state by a public authority, for example, social services, with the respondents being the parents. These may involve cases where a child is thought to be in danger in the family home, and the local authority may be seeking a supervision order or emergency protection order to ensure that the child remains safe. Private cases, on the other hand, normally involve one parent as the applicant and one parent as the respondent. And normally these cases are connected in some way to divorce or separation, and there is some sort of dispute dealing with matters such as parental or financial responsibility of the child. Cases in the family court are heard by a family panel of three magistrates, normally with at least one man and one woman, who have received special training on family cases. Or, sometimes, a single district or circuit judge may hear the case. The remedies awarded vary depending on the case, but often will involve an order of some kind to do or not do something, for example, to pay for financial support of the child. Let's look now at the county court. What does the county court deal with? Well, the county court deals with the majority of civil cases at first instance, and although it has unlimited financial jurisdiction, it normally deals with cases which are not so complicated. For example, matters involving bankruptcy, contractual disputes, or actions in tort. More serious cases go straight to the High Court of Justice to be heard at first instance in this senior court. And who's involved in the county court? Well, cases in the county court are not heard by magistrates, as we talked about in the magistrates and family courts, but instead here cases are normally heard by either a single district judge, dealing with, as a general rule, cases worth £15,000 or less, or a circuit judge who hears cases of greater value, greater importance, and which are far more complex. 99% of civil cases do not involve juries. Some clear exceptions are defamation cases involving libel or slander. Libel, of course, refers to false statements which are made in writing, which can damage the reputation of somebody, and slander refers to a similar kind of thing, but in this case it refers to spoken statements. Journalists have to be very careful with the statements they make in order to avoid being sued for defamation. So, what happens at the county court? Well, the judge in a county court will consider the facts of the case, which may involve hearing live evidence with the cross-examination of witnesses. He or she will apply the relevant law and subsequently deliver his or her judgment. The judge must decide on the appropriate remedy. Most of the time, compensation is awarded to the winning party, but other remedies do exist. For example, an injunction may be ordered, whereby one party must stop doing something. And very often, depending on the type of law involved, that particular area of law will have its own types of remedies appropriate to that particular area. And then one of the very important aspects, which probably the claimant and the defendant are both very much concerned with, is the judge must also deal with who should pay the costs of the case and how much. When we refer to the costs of a case, we mean the legal fees associated with it. This can include lawyers' fees, court fees, and other expenses. And as a general rule, which won't surprise you, I'm sure, is that the losing party normally pays the costs. Great. So that's the end of today's episode. What did you think? Do you have a similar court setup in your country? And what about magistrates being lay people? Are you surprised they do not need a legal background? Let me know your thoughts by leaving a comment at studylegalenglish.com/episode47. Or, of course, you can send me an email directly to info@studylegalenglish.com, and I'd really love to hear your comments. And if you really, really, really love the podcast and would like to show just how much you really do love the podcast, for example, you'd like to buy me a cup of tea. Yes, you know, I really do love drinking tea. I am British, of course. You can consider supporting us at studylegalenglish.com/give. I really, really, really appreciate your support. So thanks for listening and see you next time.